Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station in North Carolina, many years, I think maybe 5 years running, huh? So this is the show, as the intro said, that is going to give you an expansive view on what it means to be creative, what it means to be entrepreneurial, what it means to be innovative. I'm not going to define those terms. I'm going to give you lots of prompts, lots of behaviors consistent with them, so that you can craft your own multifaceted understanding of what it means to be creative. Don't just take my definition, build your own understanding. And so that's what this show is all about, giving you lots of perspectives, sometimes with guests, sometimes I just explore new aspects of creativity, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Today we're going to be talking about the relationship between two of my favorite topics, love and creativity. How do they relate to each other? The more I study the research, and there's a lot of research on the relationship between love and creativity, especially romantic love, and the more I study that research, the more I believe that this wisdom that we sing is so, so true. All we need is love. Da, 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 da. All we need is love. So let's start with what happens when one is romantically in love with another. I experienced this. I experienced how it's boosted my creativity. I had been divorced. I'd been divorced for just 3 or 4 days. I've talked about this in previous shows. I was sitting in a bar in Texas at Texas A&M with my brother telling him I'm not ever going to get married again. I'd never really have been single. It's going to take forever if I get married again. Maybe never. And just as I was saying that, those were the words that were coming out of my mouth when a young lady walked into the bar. And after watching her walk about 5 yards to her table, I then turned to my brother and I said, I'm going to marry that woman. And eventually, in fact, fairly soon after that, we did. But while I was, you know, when I went back to Illinois and she's still down there at Texas A&M, man, I just wrote her so many songs. My creativity just blossomed. I was writing songs left and right. I'm not a musician, so I'm not writing the music. I'm just writing the lyrics. But yes, my creativity exploded in the aftermath of meeting this wonderful woman who I've been married to now for 44 years. So love, research shows, just opens up the world to you. You get a bigger view of the world around you. You take a bigger view of the world around you. That's philosophical. That's metaphorical, that notion that you see a bigger view of the world. But it's also actual. There's research that shows that the better mood you are in, and you certainly are in a good mood when you're in this passionate love, aren't you? The better mood you are in, the broader is your peripheral vision. So you do, in fact, see more of the world when you are in romantic love. You know this stuff. I know you know all this stuff, folks, but it's important. It's useful to be mindful about it, right? To embrace that this is what goes on so that you can develop it even further, right? So you can create advantage from this. So I know you know it, but it's nice to hear it again and get a fresh perspective on it. Being romantically in love orients us towards the future. We get a future focus when we are in romantic love. And there's research that shows that when an individual does have a future focus, when they are attending to the future, that those people are also folks who are really, really good at generating new ideas, right? So there is the benefit of that future focus that comes from your romantic love is that you are more adept at generating fresh ideas. Here's two pieces of research that I think are pretty cool. Let me talk about each one. The first is when we are subliminally primed with a loved one's name before we begin the creative exercises, creative challenges that the researchers are measuring our performance on, if we're subliminally primed as before it, just as it begins with a loved one's name, we perform significantly better on that research project, that creative exercise, significantly better than those who weren't primed with a loved one's name. What does that mean? Does that mean the next time you sit down and you're working on a big project, you should just take a second, first stare at green, and those of you who have been listening to the show know why you should be staring at green, but after you stare at green, who do you love? Just think about that person. See a lovely image, a lovely event, a lovely moment that happened with you and that individual. Think about it for a second, and then get going on your project. Research says that you'll be more effective in your work. I think this next project came out of the University of Amsterdam, similar, but this time the participants were just prompted to think about love generally, right? To think lovely thoughts, to just think about love generally. Once again, performance on the exercises, on the creative exercises that were being measured, were significantly better. Now, both loving and being creative both have an impact on our brains of releasing that wonderful chemical called dopamine. And we love when dopamine is dancing around, swirling around in our brains. It's a sense of reward that we get when we get that nice dopamine squirt. And we get them from both love and from creativity, once again showing how closely interacting they are, how closely related they are. Excuse me, that's a good way, how closely related they are. So that's romantic love. Now let's talk about friendship, the love of friendships. Is there love in your friendships? Do you feel it? Do you bring love to your friendships? Not just your friends, but your friendships, right? The relationship. There's bring love to the relationship. Do you bring a generous, loving attitude, an appreciative, loving attitude? You don't just love the friend, but you bring all that to building a friendship, right? Build a relationship with that person. I don't think I've invented this phrase. I think I've seen it other places, but I thought I came up with it on my own at the time, and that's pragmatic altruism. I love how frequently doing something that I love to do, like loving, like caring for people, has a pragmatic payoff, right? So there's a benefit to it. And so when you're loving your friends, right, when you're in this loving relationship with your friends, you're building this thing called social capital. Social capital is the most important capital that you can have. Social capital shows time and again, whoever has the best social capital network, most robust, most diverse, time and again, those people show up as the most effective creative contributors to a project. So this love that you have for your friends pays generously back to you. And we're going to keep talking about love when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Hello and welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Carl Nordgren. We've been talking about the relationship between love and creativity. The first segment of the show, we spoke mostly about romantic love and its relationship to one's creative performance. Right at the end of the segment, we segued into friendship love, and we're going to sort of stay with that direction now for the rest of this segment. Somebody, you want to take a loving approach to life, right? Just bring a loving approach to life, being open to life as a way to express one's love. Take a loving approach to life, and there's been research on that, on folks who take a loving approach to life. In 2009, some folks studied 72 different research projects, and they found in a very strong correlation between folks who have that loving, positive attitude towards life and their creative performance. Here are some of the things that that loving attitude does for us that relates directly to great creative performance. We are better when we are open to life, bring a loving approach to life. We are better at this crucial creative activity called divergent thinking. I don't want to confuse folks. I call it divergent discovery. I'll continue to call it divergent thinking because that's what most people call it. I call it divergent discovery because of the alliteration, and that's what that thinking is. It's discovering thinking. Right? So divergent thinking is this capacity to see lots of solutions for the problem, lots of ideas for the opportunity. Linus Pauling, I reference him frequently. I'll remind you who he is. He's the only individual to ever win 2 Nobel Prizes singularly, all by himself, in 2 different areas, medicine and peace, I believe, chemistry maybe and peace. Linus Pauling making the point that creativity is a numbers game. Linus Pauling says, you want to have a really good idea? Have lots of ideas. And so that's what happens when divergent thinking is taking place, or that's the best outcome from your divergent thinking, is to have lots of ideas, lots of categories of ideas, not different shades of blue, lots of different shades of blue, but a category of blue and a category of red and a category of orange, and explore all the individual items within each category. More you can bring to the table in your divergent thinking, the more likely you are to find the solution that you're looking for. It just so happens that divergent thinking is one of the core cognitive qualities that was measured by the NASA research that I talked to you about. The NASA research that, when it was applied to 5-year-old children, found that 98% of us are born creative geniuses. Well, NASA used, or the people who developed the assessment tool for NASA, use divergent thinking as a key piece. And it makes all the sense that it would be. First of all, it's researchers can measure divergent thinking activities quite effectively, quite accurately. So that's useful. But it's also important because it is important, right? Not only do you have to come up with some good ideas at the beginning, but man, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make all throughout a project, all throughout a new venture, all throughout building something. And you're going to have to make decisions frequently. And each time you want to be able to have choices, right? You don't want to pick the first idea that comes to you. You want to think about another and another so you can find the right idea. So good skill, good experience, good ability to exercise divergent thinking is extraordinarily important. And it gets better when we have a loving approach to life. Once again, we become future-oriented, just as with romantic love, we become more future-oriented. With a loving approach to life, we become more future-oriented. And that relates to creative thinking. We also experience, when we are loving life, better cognitive flexibility. We are more likely to look at new things and even old things in new ways and see what we haven't seen before. That's a great accomplishment, right, is to look at what you've been looking at and see it differently than you've been seeing it before. So when you are having a loving approach, an open approach to life, to the world around you, to your family and your friends and your communities, you have this loving approach, you benefit by developing this cognitive flexibility that allows you to look at things in new ways. I'm just getting my breath here as we then talk about other aspects of being creative. There's 3 that are sort of action aspects of love that I've spoken about in previous shows, but not in their relationship necessarily to love. So let's hit these 3 different activity, or 3 different approaches, 3 different attitudes that come from one's love of life, one's loving approach of life. First of all, we're more likely to be enthusiastic. And I've loved this quote. The first 3 or 4 business plans that I ever wrote, I think on the title page, I used this quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Nothing great is ever achieved without enthusiasm. Huh? Nothing great is ever achieved without love for the achievement of it, without this wonderful love for the subject. Maybe your great enthusiasm comes because you love the subject that you're working on. Maybe that enthusiasm comes because, boy, oh boy, do you ever love to do this particular process that this is going to ask you to do? Or maybe you love it because just the nature of the challenge, just the nature of the challenge itself really turns you on, and you're so enthusiastic about taking on that nature of the challenge, right? It's a blank, you love it when it's a blank sheet of paper and you get to create from scratch, right? So you love those kinds of challenges. That's where your enthusiasm really comes into play. I love the joy of creating, that phrase, the joy of creating. And that certainly is an aspect of great enthusiasm. A second of the three, I think I identified that we're going to talk about three aspects of love in action. The second is passion. Huh? How important is passion? Passion is important because, you know, being creative ain't easy. It needs commitment. It needs perseverance. And passion is the energy behind that commitment, right? It helps you keep going because you're passionate. You can't help yourself. You got to get there. You got to embrace this. You got to create this. And passion is very attractive to others. So another reason why you want to show your love through your passion when you're working on this project is you'll be inadvertently or maybe purposely recruiting people to join your journey. We got one more segment coming, folks. We're going to keep talking about love, and I got an announcement or two for you as well, a couple of tips, so please come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. I appreciate you listening to the show, and I hope that you're enjoying here as we enter Valentine's week. I hope you enjoy the fact that this is a show that's all about finding the relationships between love and creativity. And if you've been listening through the full show, you've seen that there's a lot of relationship between love and creativity. It certainly opens you, right? Having a sense of love, a love for an individual, love for the world, makes you more open to the world, makes you more future-oriented. That's really important for your creative life, for your creative performances, is that openness. In fact, was it a week or two ago, we spent a whole show talking about the importance of being open. So we talked about enthusiasm in the last segment. We talked about the importance of passion. The third aspect of love in action is maybe my favorite, and that's appreciation. That's appreciation. I love the idea that the greatest gift that we can give each other these days, and that's an act of love, right? The greatest gift that we can give these days is our undivided attention, right? Our fully listening, and listening appreciatively. How about that? Let's listen appreciatively, close appreciative listening. It's another example of pragmatic altruism, because not only are you honoring, as you should, the person who's talking to you, not only are you showing regard and respect for their message to you, but if you're listening closely for the best of it, you're taking all that in, right? That's now going to be imprinted on your subconscious, and those qualities, those forms, the models of what the person is sharing with you that you're listening to so very, very closely, they're yours now, right? They're going to be in your subconscious for you to rely on at some point in your creative life. So close appreciative listening. Appreciating others creatively often will then result in you getting more engaged in your own work, right? To listen deeply to other people's creative work often sparks you, inspires you to get re-involved or involved for the first time in your own creative work. And here's where I absolutely got fully committed to appreciation, is when I saw this following relationship, that when you provide this close close listening, this undivided attention, appreciative listening to a friend's, let's say to a friend's new idea. And you're listening appreciatively, which means what? You're listening for the very best of that idea, right? You're listening appreciatively for the very best of that idea. Well, I don't want to suggest it happens every time, but boy, frequently in my experience, I have found that when I listen to a young entrepreneur's idea appreciatively, I will then speak to the young entrepreneur from that appreciative place. And I've seen it time and again, folks, that when I appreciate or when anybody appreciates an idea, it can result in the idea appreciating, in the idea improving its value, in the idea growing. And boy, isn't that a great creative outcome from your appreciation, is to help the idea of your friend, your colleague, improve. So there is this great cycle, right? Love inspires creativity. Creative acts open up and deepen our love. And so I just urge you, and this is a great week for us to be more conscious. Again, you know these things that I've just shared with you, but it's great to be reminded. It's great to be reminded that you want to be intentional about these. You want to be mindful about them and integrate them into your life. I'm going to talk one more time quickly about peripheral vision. There is research that shows that the better mood you are in, the wider is your peripheral vision. You literally see more of the world. You actually see more of the world's opportunities. So I like that picture. I referenced green quickly in passing. Let me remind those, or maybe tell those of you who didn't know, a University of Munich research determined that when you stare at the color green for 30 seconds before taking a series of creative exercises, there's four of them, very different creative exercises, your performance improves by 25%. And so you want to stare at green. I stare at green two or three times a day. I went out and bought myself a green folder at one of the business supply stores. And two or three times a day, I'll just stare at the color green. I recommend it. It's such a simple tip. You're going to hear more about all this stuff, folks, if you join me on the 19th of February at 6 p.m. right here in your backyard at the Gold Fig bookstore in Carrboro at 6 p.m., Golden Fig's Books at 6 p.m., I will be doing an hour and a half long free creative workshop. It'll be fun. It'll be action-oriented. It'll go fast. I'd say it's perfect for anybody high school-aged or older, even somebody as old as me. And I hope to see you out there. I'll remind you of it. So that's the 19th of February, 6 o'clock at Golden Fig Books in Carrboro. Thanks so much for listening, folks. I hope you have a happy Valentine's Day later this week, and I hope you have lots of love throughout the week. Bye-bye.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.